we pray. Amen. You adults made a commitment to pray for the child that was with you. It's amazing how fast they want to run out of here. They must be the children of their parents. Years ago, before they had automobiles, I guess there were some interesting motorcycles. But this gentleman lived in a time when if you were really going to go someplace, you walked. And he decided to walk because he had an appointment across the Missouri River. It was winter, and he came to the Missouri River, and it was frozen from bank to bank. Yet he decided he had to cross. So he got down on his hands and knees and very slowly began to cross the ice-laden Missouri River. He was a little concerned about that because he had read many accounts of people who lost their lives because the ice broke and they couldn't get back to the bank. So he was concerned about that as he was crawling on his hands and knees. He became a little frightened and got down on his tummy and very slowly started to cross the Missouri River. All of a sudden he heard somebody singing, somebody whistling. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. He turned around and looked, and there was a farmer with four head of horses pulling a heavy load of hay and just having a good time crossing the Missouri River. He had been across it many times, and he knew at that point it would hold him, his horses, and a load of hay. Well, that was a great encouragement to the guy crawling on his tummy because he got up and began to cross the Missouri River 1 foot at a time. That old farmer had crossed the Missouri River many times, and he knew that it was strong enough. He knew that he could trust the Missouri River, and so he was happy to do that. I have a question for you. Do you know Jesus Christ enough to trust him and to share about him? I want you to think about that. Do you really? Do you really trust the Lord in such a way that you are willing to talk to others, not theologically, but very simply, by asking them, do you know that God loves you and has a plan for your life? A survey found that many unchurched would come to church if they were actually invited. They're not interested in having a theological discussion with you. You might find one here or there who wants to do that, but many people would come to church if they were simply invited. More than 9 out of 10 unchurched people said that they would come to church if they were invited. Our problem is, do we have the courage to invite? Are we willing to talk to a person in love, just a few words. God loves you, has a plan for your life. I'd like to invite you to come to our church. It doesn't even have to be that long. 160 million people in the United States are unchurched or attend church 2 or 3 times a year. The vast majority of unchurched still perceive the church to be somewhat relevant. There are many today who are saying the church isn't relevant. It isn't relevant in their minds because we are not relevant. We need to be God's people, and we need to be unafraid to say to someone, I'd like to invite you to church. That's all you need to do. It doesn't have to be a long theological debate on why they should come to church. The vast majority of unchurched still perceive that the church does have relevancy in the society. And we want to remember that even though we see so many people leaving, even though we see the church in confusion, we have 360 denominations, and my goodness, try to sort those out. It's pretty impossible. Another research showed that only 2% of church people invited anybody to church in the past year. Maybe that's one of our problems. There are some churches that are growing like crazy. We talked to a friend of ours in Montrose, Colorado, and she mentioned a church that's just growing so fast that they have to build a new building. The new building is supposed to cost $7 million. I don't know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, but that's what the Lord is leading them to do. I think we all desire to see friends, relatives, co-workers, neighbors, others come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. But often we are too afraid or scared to do that simple thing of inviting others to church. Remember what I'm saying, just an invitation. No theology, no discussion, just a simple, simple invitation. Sharing about Jesus doesn't have to be complicated. If most people would come to church with an invitation, we need to be the inviter. And if we don't get them the first time, remember that it takes about 7 times to really touch a person with an invitation. Here's what the scripture says in John, the first chapter, 35 through 40. The next day, John was there again with 2 of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Now, keep in mind that that's all he heard. Jesus, the Lamb of God. When the 2 disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Now, yes, they were disciples also of John the Baptist, but they didn't know much. And all they heard and all they saw was, hey, Jesus said, they said of Jesus, this is the Son of God. Jesus saw them following him. Where are you going? They asked. He replied, come and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. That all happened because of a very short statement. Lord, the Lamb of God. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. I think the thing that impresses me about what happened in these scriptures is that they didn't need a lot of information. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that was enough to get their attention. That was enough to get them to say, hey, where are you going? And Jesus said, you can come with me and you'll find out. And that's exactly what they did. All we need to know is Jesus. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know everything about the exact time that Jesus is coming. You don't have to be an expert in theology. All you need to know is that Jesus is your Savior. And then when you talk to somebody, it will come across as reality. And all you need to say is God loves you and has a plan for your life. Or all you need to do is invite them to church. That's how we grow. That's what's going on in the world today. Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, he may have known quite a bit more, but it's doubtful. And he also just simply invited people. We have no idea how long all this went on. It's certainly not that way today because we are afraid, by and large, to talk to people about church in any situation. Now, we have sent out papers inviting people to church, and people are able, it seems like, to give another person a paper, but to talk to them. And what's important is what God has done in your life. It isn't what God is going to do in this person's, other person's life. It's what God has done in your life. And you can say, I love the Lord. You can invite that person to come to church. That's all you have to do. And if out of the 68 million people who are unchurched, you don't get one or two, it would be mighty amazing. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. That's in John 1, 23 and 24. Andrew and another disciple heard what John said about Jesus, and they believed. That's all they heard. They had not seen him do a miracle. They had not seen him do one thing that would get them really excited. And so because of what was said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, they decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What would it take for us to talk to someone? We don't even have to use this Jesus who takes away the sin of the world. All we need to do is invite them. A holiday. Good time for you to invite somebody. You'll be out and about frying something on the grill, doing all that stuff that you do on this holiday that we have, Monday. We have much more evidence than Andrew had. Boy, we have a lot of evidence. Andrew didn't have much evidence. As I said a few moments ago, he had not observed Jesus doing a miracle. He had not, in fact, he might have had very, very, we have so much more than what Andrew had. Not one of us here has seen Jesus personally. Jesus. Andrew saw Jesus. And he was willing to say, come on to church. He was willing to go and talk to somebody almost immediately, especially his brother. And when he found his brother, he said, hey, bud, I think we have found the Messiah. That's all he said. I think we have found the Messiah. If you have believed that your sins are forgiven through Jesus, and I believe you have, probably, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You know enough about Jesus to share with others. You don't have to know anything else. I think it's good to learn more. I think it's good to study theology. I think it's good to understand what the scripture says. But you don't need that to talk to people. All you need to do is to say, hey, I'm going to church this Lord's Day. Would you like to come along? I'll give you a ride. I'll do something on your behalf. And if they're hesitant, you don't have to argue with them. You should not. What you need to do is share what Jesus Christ has done for you. I've encouraged for years for each one of us to have a testimony. What honestly has Christ done for you? If I were to come out this morning and ask you to share with this congregation what Christ has done for you, and you would do that, it would be tremendously important. So if you're talking to somebody and they're hesitant about your invitation, you don't want to say, hey, this is why you should be in church. This is what God expects of you. All you need to do is share what Christ has done in your life. And that's what's important. What has Christ done in your life? For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what we want for people, isn't it? But we don't want to use a hammer. We don't want to use a baseball bat. We just want to invite them to church. And perhaps in church they will discover some things about the Lord Jesus Christ that will help them grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. John, the first chapter, verses 41 through 42. That's it. The first thing Andrew did was to find... The first thing that Andrew did, sometimes I have to read this out of my notes. To find him, to find his brother Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Pretty simple, isn't it? We have found the Messiah, the Christ. And what did he do? He brought him. He brought the Messiah. And what a wonderful thing. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. So Andrew, the first person he went to was his brother. Do you have a brother who needs the Lord? I certainly did. He accepted Christ before he died at age 59. He'd been gone a long time. So the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." Wow. Excitement. That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John." I'm just reading this again. "You will be called Cephas," which was translated Peter. Andrew immediately found his mission. You also have a mission. Do you know what your mission is? Every one of you are missionaries. But somehow we don't see ourselves. We think of a missionary as going to Africa, Russia, some far off distant place. But I tell you what, you are a missionary right here in Peaburg. All you need to do is act like a mission, do what a missionary does, and invite people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What else do you need? Alexander Wyatt said, "I would change your heart and life every day." Here's what he said we should do. We should take a paper and we should write the people who need the Lord. Each one of us within our context have about 40 people. So we take a piece of paper and we write them down. And we ask ourselves, who have I talked to? Who have I invited? How have I let them know that Jesus Christ loves them? God loves you and has a plan for your life. That's about all we need. And then to invite them to come with us to church. Too many Christians simply want to be a part of a fishing society. It's amazing to me how many groups get together and they're going to study how to catch fish. But they never go out and catch fish. They just study on how to catch fish. What kind of a hook should you use? What kind of a pole should you use? All kinds of apparatus that is used in catching fish. A lot of people like to get together just to talk about catching fish. The problem is they never go out and catch any fish. And so what we ought to do is catch the fish. Doesn't make any difference what kind of hook you use. Doesn't really make any difference what kind of pole you'll use. Well, unless you are really a fisherman of all fishermen. But God doesn't care about that. What he cares about is that we go and catch the fish. And the only way we'll do that is with a simple, simple invitation. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. Would you attend church with me next week? Could I pick you up and bring you to church? We all know at least 40 people who need to know the Lord. And we write them down and we pray for them. Paul says in Ephesians 4:13, "Speak the truth in love." And when we invite somebody to church, it should be done in love, not well, I'm better off than you are. I go to church. No, that's not the way it works. Do not try to argue with people about the Bible. Rather, you need to share your own personal experience. Nobody can fault that. It's hard to argue with the simple statement that Jesus loves you, has a plan for your life. I'd like for you to come to church with me. Would you be willing to do that? And leave the answer up to them. When Jesus healed a blind man, the blind man was questioned by the religious leaders. Well, how did this happen? You were blind and all of a sudden you're not. Who did this to you? They wanted every detail about why all of a sudden the blind man could see. You know what he said? All I know is once I was blind, and now I see. Wow. That's pretty sharp. The inmate in a prison took the paper and wrote down 40 people that he knew. And he went out and asked most of them, would you come to church? Well, they actually had church in prison. Most prisons do have church. And those inmates came with him, and many of them were saved. God simply wants us to be his spokespeople. He wants us to fish. And the way we fish is by asking people to come to church. We don't study fishing, we actually fish. One closing illustration. A pastor was teaching an evangelism class where people were taught to do it all by the book. There are books that tell you how to do this, and they aren't very good. A little lady who had suffered through the book, her name was Kathleen. She dearly loved the Lord, but had a hard time keeping things from the book straight. Finally, the class was ready to go out and put their learning to work. Kathleen said, Pastor, I want to go and witness. I know where I would go to some apartments over close to where I live. The pastor said, Kathleen, you should not do that. Sister Kathleen, that is a notoriously bad place. There are prostitutes, illegal drugs, it's just not safe for you to go there, Sister Kathleen. But she said, isn't that where we should go? Aren't they the people who need the Lord? I know it isn't as safe as what you want it to be, but I want to go and witness at that place. And so she did. In time, the others came back, and Sister Kathleen was just bubbling. She said, praise God. He gave victory. I went to the first apartment. There was a bunch of big fellas sitting around smoking. I I went in and I said, boys, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. You need to know him. The preacher was shocked. What happened? Kathleen replied, one big old boy said, come on in. You remind me of my grandma. Next thing I know, the whole room is full of people. And I had them all around me. And I was able to tell them about Jesus. Wow. I didn't have to go to any other room. Everybody came to me, and lots of them got saved. Then she added, can I borrow the school bus? I want to go pick them up and bring them to church next Sunday. They all agreed to come. The other people who had gone out by the book came back pretty well discouraged. Nobody had listened to them. But because of Aunt Kathleen's tremendous desire and ability to talk to people about God without arguing with them. So she wanted to borrow the church bus. How many of you want to borrow the church bus? We don't have one, but we'll find something for you. And you can bring them to church next Sunday. Are you ready to go and tell others about Jesus? Well, we got a few. So let's do that this week and see what it brings. Wow. Exciting times we live in. 68 million people are unchurched. And there ought to be a few of those that we know and are willing to do something about. So, we have a closing hymn of invitation.